You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Parental discretion is advised for this entire podcast, aka we're going to be dropping the F-bomb left and right. So put the kids to bed because parental discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope Bonus Level. And this show is for ICW Milwaukee's fucking Insane 8 tournament, where we get really fucking insane. I am Chad, coming to you from Zeus's Treehouse, and I am joined by my good brother to the left, Diesel.
As always.
And across, not here, but by video communication, the idiot ref that we all know and love, it's Jerry.
You sick fucks.
Hey, man. It's the way it is. You know, it's what we enjoy. All right. But as everyone knows, I could not actually attend the Insane 8 in person. I watched it on iPay-per-view. Enjoyed it very much. So I will not be completely running this show this week, as I usually do. So, Jerry, time to kick off this show. And where do we start?
Well, we're going to start with, for any of the fans that did not get a chance to watch this, they can go to Smart Mark Video and order the DVD there. Or they can go on to the Fight TV app, search Insane 8, and they can watch it there. It's a great show. I mean, I was there. I reffed it. And I bought the show and on Fight TV app and watched it a few times already. Now, one of the bonuses by watching it on the Fight TV app or Smart Mark is you get the commentary. Some of the superstars we had there on commentary for the death matches, we had Necro Butcher and Chucky Smooth.
Yeah, that was a very interesting commentary team. I'll give them that.
Far right and far left. It was interesting.
It was very interesting.
I don't know if that's what Chad was talking about.
Yeah. Diesel knows what I'm talking about.
We had our favorite deathmatch wrestler, Dysfunction, on commentary, and we also had deathmatch wrestler Eric Ryan there.
Now, Eric Ryan was really fucking smart. I will not.
He was honestly the
main event of the commentary team. I will not lie. Eric Ryan referenced shit that I was like, holy fuck, you know what you're talking about.
He should do that for a living.
It was awesome. Unfortunately, Jimmy Lloyd couldn't make it with his commitments to going over to Japan. Where he was at, he would not have been able to make his flight. So Eric Ryan stepped in for Jimmy Lloyd and lit it up. So yeah, you had those four on commentary. They bounced back and forth, swapped out in matches. For anybody that's ever seen Chucky Smooth in person, he toned it back quite a bit for the show, but still was fucking awesome on the fucking on commentary. He was making fun of JP, Mouth of the Midwest.
He ripped into JP basically constantly throughout the whole show.
Yes, and we all loved it. Well, this show was great. So we started off first with a non-death match. We had a regular singles match. We had Prince of Lucha, Juan Hernandez, against Joey Jet Avalon. So for this match, we had Dysfunction and Chucky Smooth starting off right on commentary. So we get Juan starting off hot, going right to town on Joey. Gets him down, goes up for coup de grace off the top rope, and misses. Joey counters, hits a nice tombstone pile driver for a two count. Joey then hits a nice big senton for the two count. Juan gets a little reversal in there. He goes for the lethal injection, and Joey blasts him in the back of the head with a nice clubbing forearm.
Dude, that was a fucking wicked clubbing forearm by Joey. Like, this match, I loved everything about it because it was like a David versus Goliath this entire time where Juan was trying to fight against an insurmountable force where he was getting his blows in, but they just didn't seem to matter. And it was a great, great encounter. Sorry, I got the hiccups.
I mean, yeah, they picked right up where they left off in their first match. Then Joey puts Juan in that reverse Boston Crab he likes to do, which just looks so painful. Joey sets him up for his tombstone pile driver. Juan counters, nails a couple forearms, gets a second rope moonsault, goes to the top rope. It's a nice missile dropkick for a two. Juan then nails the double stomp from the top rope for a two count. Joey gets back in control, nails a big razor's edge from one corner of the ring to the other corner of the ring.
I thought that was actually going to kill Juan on that one. Like, he folded Juan in half. Juan's not the biggest guy, and I thought that was the death sentence right there. That was a very wicked razor's edge.
That it was. I mean, it's lawn darted him. Joey then nails a really nice bicycle kick. It's his patented package pile driver for a 2 9/10. Joey looks shocked. Juan kicks out. Juan comes back with two cutters, Joey. Then nails the big lethal injection for a two count. It was that close for it. Joey reaches, grabs the shovel. Juan steps on it. Now, Juan is pissed at this point because he's tired of Joey's fucking shenanigans. So he actually grabs a shovel and goes to nail Joey with the shovel, which would have been a disqualification. Ref Perch is there, grabs a shovel. As he's removing the shovel, Juan turns around, and, of course, we have our first dick kick of the night. And there will be many, many more dick kicks throughout the night.
What?
Yeah, it's quite a common thing. So Joey nails a dick kick, then he hits a big package pile driver for the 1-2-3. So as he's strutting and showing off in the ring, Mr. Swagtastic Jerry Jax comes in, jumps Joey's from behind, nails him with a belt shot, gives him his finisher, kind of like a flatliner, onto the Midwest title. Proceeds to put the shovel on top of Joey and starts strutting and showing off. So, yeah, Joey may have beat Juan, but I feel like Jared Jax has some message for Joey and put him on check.
Fuck you, Jared Jax. We ain't got no time for your shit. We're Joey all the way.
I really like this match, though. I thought they did a great job, like Jay said, picking up from their last match, because their last match was really good. I thought they even stepped up in this match, and this one was even better. I really, really popped when Juan kicked out of the package pile driver. I thought it was over. And I think everybody else that was in the Pika Lounge thought it was over. Everyone was on their feet. And it was a really good way to start up the show. It brought the intensity and brought the crowd up and ready for some good deathmatch wrestling.
That one, I'm trying to think, the last person I saw kick out of the package pile driver.
It was probably Yanni when they had their last contest together a while ago.
I'll have to look for that one up. But yeah, I mean, it's not many people kick out of that.
No, definitely not. Package Pile Driver is a death sentence to most folks.
Yes. So now we kick off right off the bat with Deathmatch. So we start off, the first one is a Doors of Death. We have Wizard King, Dark Prophet, Orin Veidt against Alex Colon. The fans are rabid right off the start. I had the luxury of reffing this match. We had Chucky Smooth and Dysfunction on commentary. Great as always. There was a feeling there that you just – it's hard to explain. I'm sure Diesel felt it when he was there. I mean, the fans were just rabid. It was just like your adrenaline, everything was up and just – right off the bat. So we get Alex starting off with a DDT on Orin after running up one of the doors that are propped up in the ring. Then he proceeds to give Orin double knees through a door. Now, this was a plain door, so we're going to start mild here. Then we have Orin takes advantage and proceeds to bring in the light tubes because, hey, you know, might as well get him out right away. Let's bring out the things everybody wants to see. He decides to headbutt a light tube on Alex.
Always a great little spot when the attacker decides, you know what? I don't care about my own safety. I'm going to headbutt this light tube into you anyways to cause you more damage.
We had Orin taking Alex's face into the barbed wire board and, just introducing him to it because why not? Hey, here's Barbie.
Then we had
a spot that the fans loved. Orin picked up Alex for a suplex and held him there, and the fans counted long till 10.
That vertical suplex, or that stalling vertical suplex, was effing intense. Wait, I can say fucking intense. I forgot. I don't have to censor myself. It was fucking intense. He held that for way longer than I thought Orin could. That went, and this on commentary was insane. The surprising strength from Orin Vite. I was impressed.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He had the whole fans, everybody coming along with it. We had Alex getting back control, and he slams Orin on a barbed wire board. So that was always, a little bit of an issue there. It doesn't feel good. Alex proceeds to then take half of the broken plane door and starts repeatedly bashing Orin over the head with it. So what we have then is Orin gets a reversal, gets back in control, launches Alex through the barbed wire door. Alex gets back in control and gets a double stomp through the tubes to Orin. So now we have Orin with a classic deathmatch wrestling move, backslide on Alex. The two count. Not many times in death matches will you see a backslide. Then Orin picked up and kind of did like a suplex toss. And Alex threw a chair in the corner.
Like an X Factor like suplex where he just tossed his ass. It was, yeah.
Then we had, there we go. And then Orin proceeds to go out and brings in the light tube door. So the light tube door were 8-foot tubes on a 6-foot door.
Yeah, this was a very... This one, the minute I saw it, I went, you guys are all fucked up in the head.
Yeah, it was a little rough getting that into the ring. Orin, had me go out there and help him because the 8-foot... Anybody that's been to La Pica knows there's not a lot of space in there.
There's not. It's a very intense and wonderful, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Personal atmosphere, if you will, yes. Where we are all very close to each other and we all get to experience everything together.
So we had a 6-foot door with 8-foot tubes under the ring. Now to get that out, it took a little work. But we get into the ring. Alex quickly Pearl Harbors Orin, gets back control, sets the tubes and the door up on a chair. Now, at this point, Alex goes up to the top rope. Orin is playing possum. So as Alex is up there, Orin counters with the cradle shot through the tubes onto the door. Orin gets a 2 count. Alex kicks out, hulks up like a motherfucker. At this point, and this is something I left out, I forgot. So to start the match off, Orin goes and brings in the light tube fan.
I was wondering if we were ever going to get to this fucking moment. Like, I wanted to bring up the light tube fan right away, but you were just running. As I said, you're running the show, so I wasn't going to interrupt. But the light tube fan was the greatest thing, and it's always the greatest thing. It's the sickest thing ever. And literally, when he hit him with it, you could see the blood just immediately turn. He went from normal to having a literal blood spot on his head that started pouring immediately. It was the most perfect light tube spot, light tube fan spot I've ever seen.
Then Orin nails Canadian Destroyer for the 1-2-3 on it. So, the show started off fucking amazing. Orin had a chant after the match. The fans gave Alex a chant after the match. It was fucking awesome. Well, then we switch over to the second match. We have the Four Corners of Fuck.
Whoa. Jerry Diesel has some thoughts on the match.
Oh,
wait, why don't you just fucking just jump ahead for a moment? Let Diesel get his thoughts in, you dick.
I'm a designated drinker.
I'll jump in after you're done talking. I'll let you run through, but I have some thoughts too. I thought this was my match of the night. I like this match out of all of them the best. I thought the feeling in La Pica was something that I've never experienced before, and being there so many times, it was a feeling where it was a calm, but almost like a calm before the storm, And then once that match started, like, everyone just went nuts. There was multiple ICW chants. There was holy shit chants. There was you sick fuck chants. Everyone, this, like, if the last match, like, lit the match, this is what set the show ablaze.
It was a hell of a starter. It was a way to kick it right off. I mean, they, right from the start, I mean, it was just balls to the wall. It was, it's one of those ones that Orin and Alex went out there and said, go ahead, pop this.
All right, well, let's move on to match number two then, Jerry. Where are we at for match number two?
Match number two, we have the Four Corners of Fuckery. We have the Crippler of Orphans, the Bringer of Plagues, the Snowman, the Devil's Big Red Dick, Marcus Crane against Eric Ryan.
Wait, it's so ridiculous goddamn red light tubes.
Yes, big red devil's dick he comes out with. We had Chucky Smooth and Dysfunction on mic for this one, which actually, this match actually started off pretty interesting. We had some mat and chain wrestling between Eric Ryan and Marcus Crane. So kind of showing their chops out there, what they could do. You know, they're out there. We had some go-behinds, some headlocks, some takedowns. So right away, you know, after that, we're going to go into some more chicanery and fuckery. So we had Marcus Crane goes for a curb stomp to the dry ice, and Eric Ryan smartly moves out of the way.
He did. He moved very quickly. Curb stomp and
dry ice is going to fuck up your day.
That it would.
And then with one of the corners of fuckery, we had, obviously that was one corner of the dry ice. Another corner of fuckery, we had our kitchen supplies. So your skewers, your pizza cutters, your cheese graters, your pans, all that good stuff. So right away, Marcus grabs cheese grater and proceeds to start going to town on Eric with it. Eric gets back control and proceeds to headbutt a gusset plate into Marcus Crane's arm. Because what's deathmatch wrestling without a gusset plate?
Obviously. What is deathmatch wrestling without it?
We had one nice chunk of dry ice in the middle of the ring, so Eric Ryan says, fuck it, why not? Grabs Marcus Crane, picks him up, body slams him onto the dry ice piece. Obviously, Marcus did not like this too much. We had Marcus coming back with a pizza cutter.
And oh, that was a really sick spot. I really like the pizza cutter is always one of those weird weapons that, for some reason, I always get a little cringe moment from it, where I don't really, like, cause light tubes and everything like that, like a barbed wire bat, none of those make me cringe. But the pizza cutter, every time someone takes it to someone else, I always get that little, like, oh, shit, that is literally going to cut your skin just perfectly in a nice little line.
Yeah, that's
I don't like pizza cutters. They get me, every time. Ah!
We had DDT on a sign, road sign. Then Eric Ryan proceeded to throw the road sign at Marcus Crane and nailed him in the head with it, which was
I fucking funny. Love every time anyone throws any weapon, chairs, signs, anything like that. They're the fucking best moments. They're so dangerous, but I love it.
We had Eric Ryan grabs Marcus Crane's big red devil dick, which obviously pissed Marcus off a little bit, and he chair shotted the devil dick. Well, that kind of hurt Eric a little bit. He went down. Marcus grabbed, we had in one of the corners, we had a bucket of thumbtacks. Now, when I say a bucket, if you go to the bar and you get one of those little buckets that has like the six beers in it with the ice, we had a bucket like that full of thumbtacks.
Just you're full of fucking thumbtacks.
40,000, 50,000 thumbtacks. Well, Marcus being Marcus dumps it over his own head because he likes to bathe in thumbtacks. Grabs dry ice, puts that in it also. Then grabs Eric Ryan and nails a snowplow in the thumbtacks and dry ice for the 1, 2, 3. So advancing to the second round, Marcus Crane.
Not shocked by that fact.
Marcus Crane is the man. He's craziest, probably the craziest motherfucker in ICW. And every time that they've had a dry ice match, Marcus Crane has been involved. He's not afraid of that stuff. I'm afraid of that stuff, but he's not afraid of that stuff. And this match was, not as been as good as the Orin Veidt Alex Clone match, but this one was definitely one to talk about because there was a lot of crazy shit that happened. And I definitely love the spot where he took the bucket of thumbtacks and showered himself. He's just a crazy fuck.
Yeah. All right, time to move on to the third match then. Jerry, what we got?
So third match, we had the fans bring the weapons matches, whereas you sick fucks listening bring sick shit in that I don't even think about making. I mean, seriously, some of y'all need to get your fucking head checked.
And if fucking Jerry is telling you to get your head checked, then there is something wrong with you.
Y'all got some bodies buried somewhere in your yard that you got issues.
Jerry is one sick fuck. Let's get honest about that.
So we had on this one, we had Chucky Smooth and Necro Butcher on commentary. For the price of watching it and listening to it, Bucky on commentary for the just fuckery and shenanigans, all the shit they talk about is fucking awesome. On this one, we had the
Bulldozer. If you like boobs, you will love everything about all of their commentary.
Yes, we need more of it. We had the Bulldozer Matt Tremont against Schlack. So we had two beasts in the ring. I mean,
oh my god, these are two horses. Like, this was intense. Like, even like in the walkout, like I wasn't even there, and just watching it on iPay-per-view, I was like, damn, this is literally two just massive mounds of people coming the fuck against each other.
I had the luxury of reffing this one, and my God, I had no idea where to stand. I mean, you had talked two big dudes that, I mean, they started off chopping each other, just stood in front of each other and just back and forth. I mean, these are just chops that would just kill you. Just back forth. Hit the rope, slam into each other. Hit the rope, slam into each other. I mean, it's like, good God. The proverbial unstoppable force meeting the immovable object. So after that, Shellac decides he's had enough of that. He grabs, a fan had brought a thumbtack toilet seat.
Yes.
Toilet seat cover, thumbtack all around it. Shellac decides to smash that over Tremont's head.
This was one of my favorite spots, even watching it on iPay-per-view, just because of how well it worked out where Shellac slammed it and it perfectly went around his neck. It was insane. You can't literally plan that shit out. It worked out perfect.
We had deciding that wasn't enough. Shellac goes and grabs a trash can and smashes that over Tremont's head. Now, not wanting to be outdone, Tremont grabs a bottle cap bat and proceeds to hit Schlac with it. So then we get Schlac reversing back control and starts going to town with these elbow drops on Tremont. I mean, it's just elbow drop, off the ropes, elbow drop. I believe a fan had brought a small little paddle or oar with half-cut soda cans on it. He puts that on him, elbow drops that.
Schlack has that really great old-school, like, Harley Race, hardcore elbow drop where he just fucking drops it hardcore.
Then we had a fan had brought in a chair, lined it with thumbtacks. Tremont reverses Schlack and proceeds to do a released German suplex through the chair.
Yes.
I can't say on the chair because Schlack went through it and destroyed the damn thing.
Yeah, let's say Schlack is a little too big to go on a chair. It's through the chair that Schlack will go.
Then, guns don't kill people. Schlack kills people. He pulls out a plastic bag and puts it over Tremont's head and starts suffocating him with it.
He's trying for the suffocation spot. You don't see that a lot everywhere, but we saw it that time.
So Tremont, being smart to this, being a big guy, proceeds to fall backwards through a barbed wire door that's in the corner. That's one hell of a way to break it up. Tremont nails a nice big Samoan drop. onto the remnants of the barbed wire board. He nails a Death Valley driver, and then grabs a light tube bat, smashes it over Schlack's head, and beats him with a roll up for the 1-2-3.
That big fuck! I could not believe the big fuck did a roll up right there for the 1-2-3. It was one of the most shocking moments of watching all of the Insane Eight, to be honest.
And Schlack,
to see that big fuck do that roll up.
He was surprised because he threw a chair, the thumbtack chair afterwards. And, of course, what does the chair hit? Me right in the side of the knee.
That's what you deserve, Jerry. You're a terrible referee. You deserve what you get.
We'll talk about refs getting what they deserve a little later on in the night. There's more to come on that. But these are,
all right, Diesel, your thoughts on this match real quick.
I love this match. This match was bloody. Matrimon's head just was... like, almost looked like Abdul the Butcher's scars on his head after this match. It all swelled up and was all just dark red and bloody. And Schlack was super bloody as well. He was sitting behind us for a while after the match, just watching the show. He didn't even clean himself up. He was still dripping blood all over the place. But, I mean, Schlack is the man. This match was a hard-hitting match. Some of the stuff they did, I couldn't believe, especially with the plastic bag over Matchbox's head. That was crazy, but it didn't really work out for Schlack because he had a minute for maybe 2 seconds before he like got backed up into that barbed wire board. But this is kind of, I know that Matchmont was an 8-time deathmatch winner, but I was still kind of expecting Schlack to come out on top of this one. So I was a bit shocked, especially with the roll-up.
And according to Chucky Smooth at AOC, Schlack is her favorite wrestler. So she was a little disappointed. Now, one of the things we have to point out is Tremont actually, I'm not sure, either Friday or Saturday night was in another deathmatch tournament and won it. You could still see like the scars and the gashes on his head. And Schlack being Schlack is taking his fingers and trying to rip it open. He's biting at it, clawing at it. I mean, it was fucking
Schlack kills primal. People. That's what Schlack does. Schlack doesn't fuck around. Schlack kills people.
He doesn't.
But I will say real quick, before we actually move on to talking about more deathmatch wrestling, I am so glad I have finally figured out a way to include Diesel into these reviews where we just let him sit quietly while we talk about the match. And then he, at the end, gets his final thoughts on it.
Hey, it works for me.
I finally figured it out. It has taken me all of these reviews to finally figure out how to include this, my great co-host, in these. So, let's, Jerry, move on to our fourth match. What is that?
Fifth. Our four...
Oh, we're on the fourth.
Wrestlers advancing. So, the fourth match was Barbed Wire Madness. We had MDK all fucking day, Nick fucking Gage, against the Big Scare, Top Dan O'Hare. We had Chucky Smooth and Necro Butcher on the mic for this one. I just started off some more chain wrestling, which 3 out of the 4 matches, I believe, started with chain wrestling.
Now, there was a lot of like great, like actual normal wrestling to start out so many of these death matches. Where no one, like, if I'd have been there, I would have been making some great chants for those. But I was not there. But it was great to start these matches with some real, actual, textbook wrestling, if you will.
Then let's go right to it. Gage backdrops O'Hare into the barbed wire ladder. Proceeds to then put the ladder on O'Hare and does a twisting senton onto the ladder that's on him. He nails a bulldog onto a barbed wire chair. So Gage is fucking all over O'Hare at this point. At that point, he grabs the barbed wire thumbtack boxing glove. But we had a boxing glove with thumbtacks on it, and we wrapped it with barbed wire. And he proceeds to bash O'Hare in the head with it. I believe...
which he definitely deserves. He's a piece of garbage police officer. Oh! I believe
Mr. Chucky Smooth called that a Puerto Rican boxing glove. That was his reference to it.
Well, I mean, Chucky Smooth. As much as he might know more than I do, he's still also an idiot, so I don't agree with him.
And then we have O'Hare getting back in charge. Nails like a boss man-like slam. Then he nails a big elbow off the top rope. We have Gage then coming back in, back out on top with a superplex out on the barbed wire ladder, which did not look very – it hurt.
They did not look appetizing.
We had O'Hare nails this really, really vicious-looking Michinoku driver on Gage. I mean, he nailed him with it. I mean, it was sick. I thought it was over. Two count. O'Hara then proceeds to cuff Gage. Now, unfortunately, he was having issues with the cuffs. Couldn't, it looked like he couldn't.
I would say they seem to be the weakest handcuffs that ever existed. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but they seem to be the worst handcuffs ever constructed in the history of man.
Well, finally gets him on there. He body slams Gage onto the barbed wire tennis racket. At this point, pretty much pissed off Gage, who then snaps the handcuffs off. O'Hare grabs him and nails him with a big Oklahoma stampede onto the barbed wire door, what's left of it. Gage ends up reversing him then, nails a big choke breaker, and then he nails a pile driver onto the barbed wire door for the finish, for a nice 1-2-3. So then we have advancing into the semifinals. We have Nick fucking Gage, MDK, all fucking day. So give me your opinion on that.
In this match, I fully expected Nick Gage to win it. Whole time, so I wasn't surprised by the outcome, but what I was surprised by were some of the spots that Dan O'Hare took, especially that superplex onto the barbed wire ladder. That one looked like it was painful, and if it were me, I would have just given up and be like, you won, it's over. But he's a lot stronger man than I am. This match was a good one. It wasn't my favorite of the night, but I think it was only because I just fully expected Nick Gage to win, so my suspension of disbelief wasn't as much as in some of the other matches, but I did enjoy this match, and it was a good way to close the first round.
It was. So we had set up for our second round. We had, coming up, we had Matt Tremont versus Marcus Crane in a tubes, ladders, and doors match. And then we had the second round rematch, Orrin Vite versus Nick Gage, an electrified light tubes and Legos match. So we had it set up. We, of course, a lot of fucking cleaning we had to do to get everything out of there. So we get everything out there. We get the tubes, ladders, doors, everything for the bulldozer, Matt Tremont, against Marcus Crane, the bringer of plagues, Snowman, crippler of orphans, the big red dick. Then we had Necro Butcher and Chucky Smooth on the mic for that one. Chad, did you have any, before we go on to the second round, do you have any comments on the Gage and O'Hare match?
Yeah, fuck Nick Gage.
All right, well. So, go right to our second round. So, this one starts off with, right off the bat, Marcus nails fucking Tremont in the arm with fucking the light tubes and cuts them open. At this point, fucking Tremont tells me, go grab the wrap, fucking bolt out of the ring, grab the wrap, come back in. At this point, I don't know how many light tubes that Marcus has smashed over him. I think there's a light tube bat, some individual ones, a couple together. Just fucking going ape shit on fucking Tremont's arm. I get out there, start wrapping it. Well, Marcus figured out what weapon he wanted to use next on him, which I believe was the barbed wire tennis racket.
It was anything that would destroy that arm a little more. And we all wanted you, Jerry, to stop wrapping it. And we know that it needed to be wrapped, but it doesn't matter because you need to let Marcus Crane deliver his insane, insane.
I found out the hard way. So as I'm trying to get this wrap on there, which is not fucking going on, so obviously I can fucking destroy shit, but I can't fucking heal people. So,
not a shocker.
Next thing I know, I feel these two arms on my shoulder. It's like, huh, that's a weird sensation for a death match. And then I am thrown across the ring, rolling through all the busted glass that Marcus had shattered over Matt Tremont's arm. And realize that I had obviously was in the way of Marcus. So he had got the barbed wire tennis racket and he was smashing Tremont's arm with it. So Marcus goes to decide what other fuckery that he wants to use on him. So I quickly go over and try to wrap it some more. He comes back, I believe, with a couple light tubes. I proceed to get out of the way because I learned my lesson.
You were smarter that time. I will be honest with you. You were smarter the second time.
And then I believe it was the third time I tried wrapping it, got as much as I could, and then Tremont came back. So then we had a whole bunch of light tubes bashing each other with them. Marcus is a smart wrestler here. So he's just working over Tremont's arm. He actually puts it in between the barbed wire ladder and proceeds to smash it with a chair. So we're going back, and then Marcus brings out his fun little toy. He has a ladder, or not a ladder, but he has a chair with light tubes into it. So he sets it up into the corner, and this was kind of his downfall. He decides he's going to throw Tremont from one corner into that other corner. Now, Tremont's a big dude, 300 plus.
He ain't small.
Didn't work out too good for Marcus. At this point, he reversed Marcus and launched him into that chair.
It was really bad. Yeah. That was actually one of the roughest spots that while watching on iPay-per-view, I was like, holy fuck.
So that Marcus pretty much came out of the corner and Tremont beats him with, I believe it was a sunset flip.
Yep, it was a sunset flip. It was another ridiculous finish for a death match.
Now, after this, Tremont's celebrating. I'm tending to Marcus. I proceeds to tell me that he can barely move. He's got a big old – he's got a, probably about a 2-3-inch gash in his back. What had happened is when he hit the light tubes, when they shattered, it cut open his back, and a piece of the glass actually lodged in there. So went into the back, got my changing towel. It was clean. And put it over Marcus and helped him to the back. Now, anybody that sees – seen Marcus Crane knows that the man can take some fucking pain. So when he can barely walk, you know, it wasn't just a little owie. I guess they irrigated and got the glass out and he was fine after that, but yeah, that was wasn't that bad, but the piece of glass got in there and that was fucking painful for him.
Human body is fucking impressive because yeah, he should not be able to heal from those things. Diesel, final thoughts on this match.
Yeah, I think Marcus Crane made a couple mistakes in this match. I do like the fact that right away he used his devil's big red dick to smash it over Red Tremont's arm and then continued to work that arm and even throwing you out of the way so he could inflict more pain on that bloody arm. I was very impressed by Matt Tremont's sunset flip because a guy of that size, you wouldn't expect to see him do a sunset flip, especially to finish a match in a death match. I really enjoyed it. A lot of broken glass in this match. This was another good one. And after this match, I was excited to see who was going to win the next match to face Matt Tremont in the finals.
Well, that was a good match. So our first person advancing to the finals, the bulldozer Matt Tremont. So that was great. So next we had the one that a lot of the fans were loving. They figured they were going to see him in the final, but they ended up getting to see him in the second round. The electrified light tubes and Legos. So when we say Legos, like people have seen, you know, like, oh, well, here's a little, you know, a little bag of Legos, this or that or the other. No. We had
like 20,000 Legos.
Fucking bin, like one of those big plastic bins full of Legos. Now, instead of, like, letting the wrestlers just dump it out, we started off with them already dumped out into the fucking ring. But we get there, now, so the fans are fucking divided. You have Nick fucking Gage chant going. You have Orin Two Belt chants going. I mean, it's back and forth, back and forth. The fans are just fucking rabid over this one.
If I would have been there, I will tell you, Orin Two Belts would have won the chant battle. I just want everyone to know. So fuck Nick Gage still. I'm still standing by that. I don't care. I'm sure he'll kill me, but that's neither here nor there.
right, so this one, we had light tube bundles right off the bat, some individual tubes. We had the electrified light tubes, your shop lights, which we had Warren got, I believe, drove into one of them. This is actually a pretty quick match. This was actually under 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it was short as fuck.
The finish was Orn with the cradle shock through an electrified light tube. Now, this is the part where it gets interesting. It's a three count where when you watch the video, in my opinion, H kicks out before the three. Now, the reason I say this is that the ref was not in position to see the shoulders. So the ref cannot actually see H's right shoulder come up off the mat. You can actually see...
Whoa. Hold on, Jerry. Right now, as you're being a piece of shit right now, you are fighting against another of your referee brothers? You have to stand by them. That is your job. You are a brotherhood.
We all make mess ups. You know, we talk about them afterwards.
Oh, man, Jerry. I don't know, Jerry. I don't like that. I don't like the jury.
He was not seeing the shoulders. Now, if he would have taken that extra half second to get around, be able to see both shoulders being down, the kick out would have been perfect. It would have been 2.5. So there is plenty of discussion on this with the...
Orton won the match. That's all that matters.
He did, but, you know...
That's all that matters. Referee on site said that's what matters.
It does.
And I don't like the fact that you are fighting against your own brotherhood.
I'm not
that
fighting.
Is traitorous.
It's
traitorous.
How come you didn't come out and, like...
Yeah, why didn't you come out and yell at someone then?
His decision is... Well, but remember, I saw this on video. Where I was sitting to watch it...
Now we got the excuses. Now we got
you have to be able to see it. When you get that shot where it's right there, you can see him kick out. You get the refs in the wrong position. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. Well, after this, we proceed to get a great Nick Gage heel promo. Pretty much saying that ref TJ Ace was Orin Veidt's boy. He had him in his pocket. That was a horseshit count. We had... much Nick Gage said if anybody wants to fucking fight him.
He said fuck Milwaukee, and that's why I'm saying fuck Nick Gage. Don't you ever fucking sass my state.
Hey.
Fuck Nick Gage, and I don't care. This is our fucking area. Fuck you, Nick Gage.
He did. We do have a return bout between those two, but this time it's going to be out in New Jersey in Gage's backyard. So.
Yeah. That's fine. Wisconsin will represent proud. We will fuck you over. Fuck you, Nick Gage. Don't you fucking sass our area.
So, yeah. He proceeded to tell the fans if anybody wanted to fight him, he'll be outside, and nobody took him up on that offer.
I'd have fought him. I wasn't fucking there. I'm a psychopath. I'd have headbutted him. I probably lost anyway, but I headbutt the shit out of him. A giant head.
And Diesel and I would be doing this now with just me and him.
No, that's fine.
I'd just be you. I'd just be here, just sitting here, yep, agreeing with you.
See, as much as you want to give me all the shit, you don't understand. I have done a lot of fighting, and I have been beaten to piss. I'm actually a lot tougher than I look.
Well, I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying when he breaks out the fucking...
He's crazy as fuck. I'm not saying I'm not going to lose, but he would know that he was in a fucking fight.
Remember, he loves to use a fucking pizza cutter.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll go at him with the pizza cutter, too. I'll take it right to him. I got no qualms. I might think it's sick, but to win the fight, I'll go right at your eyes.
Yeah, so we had that one. We had some fan, some woman threw a beer at him, and I thought he was going to go out there and kill her.
Some fan? We know what woman that was. She is at all the ICW Milwaukee shows.
No, this is a different
Orin's
one.
Number one fan.
No, that was Orin's number one fan.
Is it?
She's always there.
Is it? I've never noticed.
We know. Well, it's time to move on to the next match, though, before we get into any more trouble with our just random shenanigans. Let's move on to the next match, which is the finals.
Before that, Diesel, what's your take on it?
My take was, I kind of agree with Chad about Nick Gage. Kind of a douchebag move, and I'm kind of also in agreement. Like, how can you go against TJ Ace, your brother? Like, like you said, referees make mistakes. You gotta stick by your guy.
I'm not throwing him under the bus. I'm just saying what I saw. It's just a review.
What do you mean? You know
what? You know, I think you pretty much threw him under the bus.
This podcast is worldwide. You just threw him under the bus in front of the whole world.
Like, here is the bus, and this is where you threw him.
Well, so,
like, it's under.
See, you're saying that. So here's what we got now. So after this is up, the finals, now we have Warren Veit and Matt Tremont in the finals. Which is a no rope barbed wire death match. Anything fucking goes. So,
which was an insane fucking setup. I was just even watching it on iPay-per-view, watching you all try to set, like, literally during the iPay-per-view, you put on last year's finals of the Insane Eight for it, and there was still more setup afterwards.
So we kind of timed it. It took us about 20 minutes to get the ropes down and the barbed wire and everything. So it was actually pretty quick. That was about the time we were looking for anything under 25 minutes. So,
yeah, it was just about 25 minutes. It took about 20 minutes for the last year's Insane Eight, which is what the like timestamp told me on Fight. And then it took about another 5 minutes till the match actually started.
Yeah, it took us. We were waiting to get a couple more people out there to break down the ring. Once everyone else got out there, everything went pretty smooth.
Blazing Benjamin deserves a shout-out, though. Because besides you and Miss Says, he was working his ass off to clean that ring, and like nobody was giving him credit. And I think that he deserves a shout out for that.
Butcher gave him credit. Chucky Smooth gave him credit. I believe they even talked to him shortly after one of the matches. Not sure which one. But with this one, we had Eric Ryan and Necro Butcher on the this one. So being the finals with it. I'm out there to ref. Oh, wait. No, I'm not out there to ref.
No, you weren't out there.
2 years in a row.
What had happened was, is the ring is set up. I'm getting ready to go out there, and TJ Ace comes up to me. He goes, I'm doing this one. I'm like, oh, you are? He's like, yeah, Orin wants me to ref this match.
I think you're making things up. This is a bunch of
No, this is what I was told. This is what I was told. So there's some shenanigans on the backside there. Same.
Wow, right. we're revealing deep covered secrets here on View from the Top Row bonus levels right now. I don't know how I feel about this.
But we have everything out there. I mean, we had everything a fuckery you could imagine.
Another fucking fan spot, LightTube fan spot. They're the best. And I don't care what anyone else says. They're the greatest spot you can ever think of. If they go as perfectly as they should, it is the most beautiful little thing. When all those light tubes smash in order, it just looks so perfect. I love it. It's my favorite thing. I will not lie.
We had
the light tube fan. But
this one, the first time they used was a 5-tube fan. This was a 7-tube fan.
Yeah. Oh, this one was bigger, and it actually did the exact same thing as the last one, where you watch the cut open up immediately on the head. And it's so sick and revolting that I am so happy about thinking about it, that it was such a perfect spot. But I'm a little bit of a sociopath, and I have no problems admitting it, because I literally watched all those light tubes smash, and the cut just, you get that blood spot, and it just starts to grow so exponentially quickly, and you go, perfect spot, nailed it. Get it? Nailed it.
Well, this one with the rope, so we got him battling back and forth in the beginning, and Tremont ends up on the barbed wire rope. And I would say on, I mean, he is...
He's inside of it. He's a huge motherfucker. Yeah. I can't believe those held him.
I build shit, and I build it good. What can I say? So at that point, I mean, Oren's working him over. We have Tremont coming back with a cheese grater on the Orin. Orin comes back with, I believe at that point, with right then, early on, with a light tube fan. So they didn't even wait till the end. This was brought in really
quickly. No, it was right in the beginning with a light tube fan. It happened very early in the contest.
Then, of course, we have Orin returning to favor with the cheese grater, and he decides to get the pizza cutter on him. And we get you sick fucking fans chanting one more slice.
I wasn't there, so I am not involved in this one. But I would have been chanting probably much sicker things had I been there. So
that's not here or there. Is a light tube exchange between Tremont Hunt and Warren. They're going back and forth with the tubes, back and forth, back and forth. To the point, there's really not many more light tubes in the ring. Then your wishes are answered. At this point, Dysfunction grabs a box of light tubes and takes them to the ring and dumps them out in the ring. You sick fucking fans get to watch them bash each other with more fucking light tubes.
Just so many fucking light tubes at that point. It was a whole other pack. Like, it was literally just intense. It was over and over.
So we get some more chicanery. And at this point, there's another ladder that is in the ring and it's set up in the corner. Now, these aluminum ladders are rated for about 225, 250 pounds, okay? Aluminum ladders. So, Warren proceeds to climb up the backside of it, the side you're not supposed to climb up on. Matt Tremont gets up and climbs up the front side. So, we have over 500 pounds on a ladder that's rated probably for 250 pounds. And I'm just watching the ladder, and I'm like, wow, a good fucking ladder. Well, they're exchanging. Now, at this point, they had placed a tempered glass with light tubes and half-cut soda cans.
Oh, God. Yep, at this the base one. Of it. Yep, I know what you're talking about.
So at,
it was like a half-inch piece of glass. Like a half-inch, yeah. At least. It was too much. It was a lot. It was a half-inch piece of glass on top of everything else.
So,
it's just lying flat. That's at least.
For safety concerns, remove the skewers out of it and replace it. So.
Okay, continue with the story, Jerry. Where do we go from here on the ladder?
On the front side, we had Oren at this point. Ashes Tremont to the point that he falls off the ladder through this tube and can contraption. At this,
it was bad. Tremont is such a big man as well to fall through what he fell through. Like, I felt it for him because I'm not huge, but I'm not small. And I know the impact that I would make on that kind of object. And the pain he experienced, that's the emotions I make.
So we had then Oren coming down for the 1-2-3. And for the second year in a row, you're back-to-back insane 8 deathmatch champion, Dark Prophet, the Wizard King, Oren.
The Wizard fucking King!
Well, the fans were fucking off the hook for this. I mean, I don't know how anyone had any energy left in them. This was a great match. Besides just what you saw in there, listening to it, Eric Ryan describing it, what he's saying. I mean, the man, besides a great deathmatch wrestler, he's great on commentary.
Yeah, he should do that for his job. He's really good at it.
He was fucking fantastic. Like, from what I heard from him, I was impressed. But also, I think that you from the top rope should get a, slot to do some commentary because we know just as much as all these rest of these fuckers and we'd be quite interesting.
Well, Chad would be just as drunk as the Knuckle Butcher, that's for sure.
Damn right.
Yeah, there was a lot of penis talk, a lot of boob talk.
There was not so much penis talk except for Jared Jax's time. There was a lot of boob talk. That was the main commentary thread of the entire show.
But getting a drunk Necro Butcher for what it is was a great time on it.
It was a time.
I think my favorite line from the Necro Butcher was, "I just got this police badge from Big Titty Bitch."
He did steal the police badge from the Big Titty Bitch.
So what was your take on the finals there, Diesel?
So even right before the match started, like for a good minute and a half, it was a rolling chant between Oren Two Belts and Bulldozer. And like the video didn't like the video, like Fight TV didn't do it justice as it did as when you were in La Pica. I have never heard La Pica so loud before in my life. They probably heard it all the way to Miller Park, as like as loud as that chant was. You can see the goosebumps on Oren's arm from that chant. Like he had the biggest smile. It looked like a little kid. Like he was so happy in that moment. And the match itself, I have never seen so much broken glass in a wrestling ring before in my life. It was a sight to see, especially after the last spot when Matt Tremont went through that pane of glass with the light tubes and the soda cans and stuff like that. Every inch of that pane of glass turned into sand. It was nuts. That match was one for the ages, and it was better than last year's finals, in my opinion.
And it's just going to get better and better. I mean, we were scooping the glass out of the ring. Fans talking about how they were showered with glass. I mean, if you were anywhere besides in the bar, or maybe in the back, you got glass on you. I mean, it was everywhere.
There's a little shower of glass. It's a little fun.
Well, it was more than just a little. It was a lot.
I think you cut this year.
We had a...
Hey, Jerry, believe me, I've been showered with a lot more than just a little glass as well. It's always fun. It doesn't matter.
Chad likes the golden showers.
Yeah, fuck you.
Tickles his boat, you know? As long as he's not into a glass bottom boat, so...
I did. Never mind. I was gonna make a joke about the movie I just saw. Not necessary. Well, let's wrap this fucking shit up.
For you, Chad, just for you, we needed another steel chair to bring in the ring for fuckery. We took the one that was reserved from you. So you were in.
I'm gonna tell you right now. If I'd have been there, that crowd would have been 1,000 times hotter because you understand the amount of aggression and rage that I had to every crowd. Because I'm just a very angry individual. But on that note, we need to wrap this goddamn shit up. So, final thoughts on ICW Milwaukee's Insane Eight, boys. Jerry, we'll start with you.
I could barely walk after the show. Adrenaline dump I had. Anybody that's ever done any sports or something knows what an adrenaline dump is. I drove a half hour... 35 minutes home, and I looked like an 80-year-old man trying to go up the stairs of my apartment. But now, just so drained. It was such a night of just, you were just living in the moment. Diesel knows what I'm talking about. I mean, the reverberation of the chants, what you felt there was, I mean, I felt stuff like this before, but with what we felt there that night, what it was something I haven't experienced in a long time.
God, I hate the fucking fact I wasn't there.
Yeah, you definitely missed a really good show.
Do you understand how much more it would be if I would have been there? You understand?
Okay, well,
I'm basically Schmidt right now. I'm just mad about everything.
This is my time. You can rant about that. You can rant about that in a second.
I'm not going to rant about anything. I'm just going to be very calm.
It definitely was a special show, and... sorry you were not there, Chad, but you missed out on the best ICW Milwaukee show I've ever seen. Last year's Insane 8 was really fucking good, but this one topped the cake at least tenfold. And, like, I can't wait to see what they do next year, see if they can top what they did this year. I mean, part of me says I doubt it, but, I mean, it's ICW Milwaukee, and they just keep on coming up with ways to shock me every single month, so... I don't know. I'm interested. I can't wait. Can't wait to see what this next year brings.
We're going to. It's going to be. I know. I talked to Dysfunction, and probably about December, we're going to start planning ideas for matches, stipulations, all that stuff. I know he has to get a hold of the wrestlers, the competitors, and see who's available, who he wants to bring in. He's going to have to qualify for it. I'm pretty sure Oren will be back again next year to defend his crown. We'll see how that goes. We have the date for next year, fans, if you want to reserve it. August 16th of 2020 will be the next Insane 8 Deathmatch Tournament. Oh,
that's Diesel's birthday. It's Diesel's birthday.
Oh, Chad?
I don't want to be in the tournament.
Texas, I'm sure, August 16th.
Why would I be? I've only been in Texas one fucking year for the Insane Eight.
Out of the 2 years you've been gone.
Yeah. Okay. One time. My birthday's the 20th, so no, I don't guarantee I'll be. I have no idea where I'll be at that point.
Nebraska.
Because you know what? I don't plan my life out that far in advance.
We'll use your chair again that you your seat. We'll make sure it's in the ring for it when you're not there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jerry. All right. Let's wrap up this fucking podcast. So, Jerry, your social media.
What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are the Insane is fucking fantastic as always. Let's move on to the end of the damn show. Jerry, give us your social media stuff so we can get on
it. All right, so anybody that wants to get a hold of me, you can catch me on Facebook or Instagram under my real name, Jerry with a J, E-R-R-Y-G-U-M-M-O. Or if you want to catch me on the Twitter, you can catch me at Lance, L-A-N-C-E, 1050.
All right, Diesel, what are your things so we can get on here?
I just got Twitter. That's at Diesel underscore VFTR.
Fantastic. I am Chad, and I am on Twitter at View From Top Rope. Thank you so much for listening to View From the Top Rope bonus level of this ICW Milwaukee. And, all right, fine, Jerry. Give us your fucking next show and everything else. Everyone is very aggressive tonight.
We need more.
You're the only aggressive one here.
Our next show for ICW, we have ICW Fight Club September 12th. This will be a special show. This will be a no-ring wrestling show. So we're going to have music there. We're going to have Damian Quinn of... Shit, my writing sucks.
Oh, we were talking about this show for like the past.
Damian Quinn
weeks
of Dark Hall will be there. We're going to have DRP with Rick Dog, another musical act be announced, and we're going to have Tyler Baggins' comedy set, who is a wrestler, also been on InfoWars. Matches signed already are Dysfunction versus Tyler Sullivan, which should be violent. We have the Wanderer AC Riley against Blazing Benjamin. We have the return of TW3 with an open challenge. And the main event is going to be the ICW Alternative Champion Orrin Vyte versus the Renaissance Ricky Noreen.
Well, I mean, technically at this point, Orrin Vyte is double champion. So you just misquoted what was happening.
And then, of course, we have the September 29th show.
Oh, just ignore me. That's fine.
So for that one... It's going to be a pretty big show. We're going to have your guys' favorite wrestler, Oso Turco.
Damn right!
His title against Rico Della Vega and Simon Says. We're going to have Salem and Dominus against Just Blazing, Blazing Ben and Just Jake. We're going to have the Prince of Lucha, Juan Hernandez, against the Wanderer, AC Riley. We're going to have a number one contenders match for the tag titles. We are going to have the Luxurious Ones, Ethan Matthews and Maverick Boone versus Doc Simmons and Zach Hendricks versus Caribbean Arrogance, Manny and Chuko versus Believe Extraordinary Wrestlers, Derek St. Holmes and Aesop Mitchell. We're going to have all weapons legal. Your favorite, Big Fuck against Little Fuck, Neil Diamond Cutter versus Alec Herzing.
Yeah!
The Fucks.
Little small fuck versus big smelly fuck. I'm excited.
We have.
I can't even speak.
We have what's called the Charles in Charge match, which is a Chucky Smooth Pixie stipulation match of Dysfunction against Chucky Smooth with White Lives Don't Mean Shit, Sean Priest in his corner. We have a four-way for the ICW tag titles. We have the Swagman Jared Jackson against the Pitbull Zach McGuire. There's Joey Jet Avalon versus the Young Gun, the Dark Prodigy, Riley Jackson. We have a Door of Death tag team match for the ICW titles, the champs, the Hooligans, against the Foleys. And then we have in the main event for the ICW alternative title, the Dark Prophet, Wizard King, Orrin Vyte. There's one of your guys' new favorites, the old-timer, Jeff King.
Yeah. Who's our favorite? I'm sorry, I stopped listening.
Jeff King.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm down for that. It's all right. I love everything about ICW Milwaukee. And if you are not coming to ICW Milwaukee shows and you have the ability to get to these fucking shows, then you're a goddamn idiot. Like, honestly, I have no other reason that you're not coming to these shows that you're just not a goddamn idiot. Because these are the best shows you will see basically anywhere in the Midwest. We are doing, or they are doing things that you cannot even imagine that are so fucking great. Come and see these shows.
And if I said if you missed Insane Idiot, go to Smart Mark Video and order it there, or go on to the Fight TV app, search Insane 8 and watch it. Said the commentary with Chucky Smooth, Dysfunction, Eric Ryan, and Necro Butcher is worth the price alone.
Yeah, you can hear a lot about boobs. Ah, but thank you so much, Jerry. You are a very, very intelligent gentleman for coming on here with this podcast. But I think it's time that we wrap this up. So, Jerry, where can people hit you up on social media if they would like to chat with you?
I did it again.
All right.
What the hell am I supposed to do then? How do I wrap this show up?
Just say goodnight, everybody.
Oh, I have to say just goodnight, everyone? We already did this shit? Well, goodnight, everyone. Thank you so much. Diesel, wrap the show up then. Fuck you.
Thank you for tuning in to View from the Top Rose Bonus Level. Join us next month for another review of ICW Milwaukee. Actually, it'll only be in a couple weeks because we're going to be reviewing the Fight Club show that Jerry just talked about. So listen to the main show and you'll know when that one drops. So everybody have a good night.
Wow. This is a terrible end. You're from the Top Row, bonus level, out!